From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you, and thank you for being with us once again for Let the Bible Speak. In our continuing study of the Ten Commandments, we come now to the sixth commandment, Thou shalt not kill. I hope that you'll be able to join us day by day as we explore the meaning and the application of this commandment. I trust that these brief considerations of God's Word will be a real blessing to you. If they are, I would invite you to write to us and let us know. It's always good to hear from those whose hearts the Lord has touched through the preaching of His Word. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. You may use this address or telephone number to request our Let the Bible Speak monthly devotional tape or CD, or our Let the Bible Speak quarterly full-color magazine. The current issue of the quarterly magazine deals with matters that are a challenge to the people of God: abortion, euthanasia, and other matters of that nature. In addition to good Bible teaching on these subjects, you'll also enjoy the missionary page and the human interest features that we carry. So make sure that you write or call today.
And there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art! Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!
According to a recent poll of regular church attenders in England, Christians lack even the most basic knowledge of the Bible. The poll was conducted by the Bible Society, which, in conjunction with the Church of England Publishing House, is launching a new book to present the Bible as drama, supposedly in an effort to combat the widespread ignorance of the contents of Scripture that exists. Some 76% of those polled could not put in order such leading events as Noah's flood, the building of Solomon's temple, and Christ's feeding of the 5,000. I think we have to be careful here. First, I have an inherent distrust of polls. Some are more objective than others, but it's an established fact that the sample unit and the phrasing and manner of putting the questions can easily skew the results. Simply put, pollsters can get the results they desire or expect. Second, my distrust of an opinion poll is heightened when I realize that it has been produced by an organization that hopes to gain by exploiting its findings. That's the case with the poll in question. The Bible Society has a vested interest in making us believe that 76% of Christians lack even the most rudimentary Bible knowledge, for it's publishing a book that purports to impart such a knowledge in a new and attractive manner. If the new venture is to succeed, obviously the traditional method of Bible teaching must be shown to be inadequate. But I have a much more substantive objection to the blaring headline, "Christians lack basic Bible knowledge." The trouble is that the pollsters are actually contributing to the very thing they're lamenting. They're deepening the ignorance of the Bible that is, alas, all too evident. How, you ask? It's like this. They go to churches, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic, or whatever, and ask their questions. They obtain their results, which they should report as such and such a percentage of Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, Presbyterians, Baptists, Pentecostals, etc., lack basic Bible knowledge. But they say Christians lack basic Bible knowledge, thus equating church going with being a Christian. Now that's no small error. Indeed, it plays right into one of the deadliest of all misconceptions. Around the world, millions are accepted as Christians on the basis of their membership in this or that denomination without any evidence of personal saving faith in Christ. Most of these people, having received such an assurance, accept themselves as Christians, an assumption that is biblically baseless. So there's a lot to criticize about this particular poll. And yet, I must confess that there is a deep ignorance about fundamental Bible truth among professing Christians of all persuasions. I blame the preachers. Many of them are so busy trying to be relevant, or whatever the current buzzword is, that they never expound the things that the New Testament presents as essential Christianity. Most people have hardly ever heard a serious exposition of justification by faith alone or of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to the believer. They have never been shown what the Bible means by the righteousness of God that Christians receive when they receive Christ by faith. It is not often that I hear a preacher deal with this important phrase, and when I do, I find that he is, more often than not, well off the mark in interpreting it. So there is widespread ignorance of God's word. What's the answer? I don't think that there's a single easy answer, but there are steps that you can take to help your grasp of Scripture. First, get under a solid Bible teaching ministry. Second, read and study your Bible daily. Note that I said study. We have an invaluable little pamphlet that we give out to help people study their Bible chapter by chapter. We call it the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Write to us and obtain it, for there's no substitute to personal Bible study. Then read good Christian books, not the sentimental, touchy-feely drivel that fills the shelves of most Christian bookstores, but books of solid Bible exposition. The Bible is a unique and wonderful book. Don't let it gather dust as it sits on a shelf somewhere. get it down every day and take time to read it and digest its message. You'll be glad you did. Today, as we continue our study of the sixth commandment, we note that it says, "Thou shalt not kill." And yet, as we began to establish yesterday, there are circumstances in which it is lawful to take another person's life. Yesterday, I mentioned the case of self-defense. And that's where we now resume our study. Capital punishment is a second way whereby it is lawful to take another life. Genesis 9, verse 6 says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." It's very interesting that there are about 30 different crimes in the Old Testament for which the death penalty was enacted. Though I think we would be right in saying it was not very often executed. But there were about 30 different crimes. However, among all those crimes, the crime of murder was one that the Lord seemed to set in a category by itself. For instance, he was very careful to mark the difference between criminal homicide and involuntary manslaughter. That is not a distinction that carnal men have instituted. That is a distinction which God in His sovereign justice instituted. Not only so, we find that for those guilty of involuntary manslaughter, so that that would never become an easy way out, He yet allowed death to be visited upon them, except they would go for safety to the city of refuge. And throughout Israel, He had cities of refuge strategically placed that the manslayer may go there. And then when the manslayer did go there, knowing that other murderers would run there as well and seek to hide behind this provision for involuntary manslayers, He instituted the most rigorous legal investigation to establish the guilt or innocence of one charged with murder. You read about that, for example, in the 35th chapter of the book of Numbers. But where there was proof, and I want you to understand this, there are some Christians who talk about the death penalty, and I do not speak as an enemy of the death penalty. I believe the state should employ the death penalty. So let me clear that out of the way, where it is appropriate. But there are some Christians who talk about the use of the death penalty in such careless terms that they seem to have the impression that the life of a criminal is of no importance to God whatsoever. One thing you discover when you study the Scripture is that the image of God in man, though defaced in all of us by sin, is not completely eradicated even by the behavior of criminals. And the life of man is precious in the sight of God. And it is a foolish thing for Christians to talk glibly and thoughtlessly about the death penalty as if the law of the Old Testament instituted a nation that swam in blood. It didn't. There was rigorous investigation. Once guilt was proved beyond doubt, where there was time, where there was effort, this was not lynch law.
where there was time, where there was effort, where there was proof, then the death penalty was available. But if you look at all the evidence, you will find that even in instituting that, God was doing so to emphasize how precious is human life. But it could be taken through just capital punishment. There is also such a thing as has often been called a just war, in which it is lawful to take human life. Now let me not get into too much of a controversy here, but I will no doubt stir some controversy when I say it, that most wars are unjust. In most cases, and I will leave it to you to supply the names and dates of the cases that will come to mind, in most cases, the people of various nations have been committed to war merely by the political intrigue of unscrupulous leaders. And Hitler was not the only one. Most wars are thoroughly unjust. And even when they are just, they are horrible beyond description. And Hollywood's love of glorifying war and bloodshed as something glorious is certainly one of the major ingredients in the disintegration of the morality of the Western world. War is horrible. Not to be glorified, even where it is just, but it is to be regretted. Though the exploits of brave men and women in such a war may certainly justly be remembered and indeed celebrated. The great preacher Robert Hall once said, "War is nothing but the temporary repeal of all the principles of virtue." The more you look at it, the more you'll see how true that is. One of the most moving experiences Joan and I ever had was 2 summers ago, visiting the scenes of war in northern France. And though those graveyards are now some 80 years old, you would have a heart like a stone if you didn't weep when you went to them. To think of those thousands and hundreds of thousands of young men sacrificed by stupid politicians and even more stupid military commanders, to-ing and fro-ing over the same half mile of meaningless mud. When you visit it, there may be glory in the memory of good and decent people who died, but war in itself is certainly the repeal of every biblical principle of virtue. But at times it's unavoidable. Aggressors must be stopped. The Second World War was terrible. How much more terrible if Hitler had had his way unmolested. The Bible does not teach pacifism. It would be wonderful indeed if every nation in the world and every ruler in the world adopted pacific views and said, "We outlaw war." That would be a wonderful thing indeed, if everybody was full of sweet reason. But that's not the world we live in. And aggressors must be stopped. Abraham, with the blessing of God, fought against Chedorlaomer and his confederates when they came on a war of aggression. The children of Israel fought against Amalek when Amalek came and smote the hindmost of them. And not only did they do so with the blessing of God, but with such a blessing from God that hundreds of years later, God said, I remember what Amalek did unto you. Blot out their name. Go and fight against them. So aggressors may and indeed must be stopped. The self-defense of a nation is a just reason for a war that kills. The protection of our allies, as in the case of Israel coming to the aid of the Gibeonites against their surrounding enemies, is the case of a just war. And killing in this case is not unlawful. Thus we find in Scripture that men of war may well at the same time be men of God. David was certainly a man of blood, a man of war from his very youth. But he was also the man after God's own heart. The centurion whom we meet in Matthew chapter 8 was a serving soldier in the most efficient military machine the world had ever seen until that time. But the Lord Jesus said that he possessed the greatest faith of any person he had met in Israel or anywhere else. Cornelius was another centurion in that same Roman army. But God said his alms were respected and they came into remembrance before God. So it's possible to be a man of war and yet a man of God. With all those things in mind, we can say that the sixth commandment does not refer then just to all kinds of killing, but only to unlawful killing. The Shorter Catechism grasps the full force of the commandment, says what it requires and what it forbids. The sixth commandment requires all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. And then it forbids the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly. And it adds significantly, or whatever tendeth thereunto. Now, with that in mind, let's come to the sixth commandment and see what it really means. I think that you will see that this commandment, thou shalt not kill, enjoins us to have such a respect for human life that we ensure its protection and preservation by all scriptural means. And as we think of that, let me remark first that the sixth commandment forbids a disregard for human life, and it condemns every murderous act or intention against it. Now, there are very obvious ways in which people may break the sixth commandment. Homicide is the deliberate slaying of another. And this commandment condemns all unlawful killing, whether by an individual or by an organized group or even by the state. Historically, the Bible tells us of the Church of Rome drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. History tells us of her terrible Inquisition, wherein tens of millions of people were slaughtered for their faith in Christ. Tells us of her persecutions through the centuries that added more millions to that awful number of the slain. In the century in which we live, the greatest vehicle of death has been what we now call the state. It has been reckoned by some that in this 20th century, the state. Now, understand I'm not talking about this state, but the state, as it is now called, looking at the nations of the world. The state has killed more people in this century than in the previous 19 centuries put together. Some put that number at 125 million people. I personally think that is a very, very conservative number. I think that the communist government of China approaches that number all by itself. So the greatest perpetrator of unlawful killing in the century in which we live has been the state in various parts of the world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.